all of our little ones gone. This morning, as we prepare to close on the book of Ephesians, we know that at the end, we're talking, at the end of the book of Ephesians, we're talking about putting on the armor of God. Folks, you ever think about in the world that you live in the days that you are out and about in this world, do you ever think about how hard it is to live in the world and not let the devil take you over? You ever realize that he is shooting arrows at you every day? Some of them are maybe ricocheting off of some of this armor that we put on, but every now and then, we as Christians, we only get half dressed with the armor that we're supposed to have. And so he'll shoot you, and it'll be a poison arrow, and it'll hit you, and it'll poison our mind, and it'll poison everything that we seem to think about and seem to do. Ever have that to happen to you? You get up in the morning in a hurry, you don't put on the full armor of God. And so this morning, I want us to take a look at Paul. Folks, if you think about Paul, if you think about how he was living, and he's in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, he's in Ephesus, and he's in jail. He's in chains. He's tied down to a wall. He can't get up and go anywhere. They've got him tied, and I don't know if you've ever seen how they used to do it, but that back you up to a wall and chain you, and you'd just be there. You might move your arms, but you couldn't get up and go anywhere. You were just there. And so he's in chains. And when I think about Ephesus, I think about a city like New Orleans. When it's on the water. It's a seafaring city. It's a place where boats are coming and going. It's a place that is full of corruption. It's a place that has got everything going on. And Paul has been there, and he has started these churches have started, and the Christianity movement has started, and he's trying to make disciples and trying to send this out into the world. And so we're going to see that he is, because he's preaching the word and because he's doing the things that's getting the church going and getting everybody all stirred up, and they're beginning to become Christians, and there's people there that are making their money and making their living on the bad things, not the good things. And so they're saying in the little board meeting that they're having down at the courthouse on Monday morning, they're saying, you know, this Paul dude, he is getting everybody all stirred up. And, you know, I really believe probably the best thing to do to calm this Christianity movement down, to calm this Jesus thing down, I think the best thing we could do is pick him up, put him in jail, and put him in chains. That way he can't be preaching and talking. But he wouldn't shut up. He continued to preach in the jail. He preached in chains. Anytime anyone come through, he told them about Christ. Is that us today? No, it's not us today. We make all kind of excuses and reasons that we cannot talk about Christ because we didn't have time, because we didn't do this, we couldn't do that. It wasn't a proper place to be talking and preaching about Christ. But it was a corrupt, dark place, folks, Ephesus was. It went on to be consumed by the silt of the land that had silted in, and they finally abandoned the town, and they give it up, and then it turned into a big site where the archaeologists come in and dig, and they find how we lived and how they lived, and it was a money-making deal. But you see what happened to it? It was covered up because it wasn't a town that was producing, I would say, the disciples that it could have been. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little more here in a minute. So he says, Paul is writing this, and he says, this is a final word. This is Ephesians 6:10. He says, this is a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Now, you think about that just a minute, folks. Put on all of God's armor. Don't get up and get half-dressed. Other day, I don't even know where I was. Oh, I was going with Mark and them on that little ride on Saturday morning. I jumped up and was running late, and I run down there and grabbed my motorcycle and backed it out the door, and I didn't even have my helmet. I took off down the road, and I said, I ride a little bit without my helmet. And I said, you know, I can't do this. I got to go back home. I got to get me a helmet. I was half dressed. That wasn't going to happen. And so I had to go back home, get my helmet, and then I was late. Half dressed, folks, you see where he's talking here. He says, make sure that you put on all God's armor. For we are not fighting against the flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from God's good, that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. And in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador, so pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him, as I should. And to bring you up to date, Tychicus will give you a full report about what I'm doing and how I'm getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful helper in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we're doing and to encourage you. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord of Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear the reading of this word and we see the armor of God that he's desiring for us to put on, this body armor, we know that they dressed David in this body armor to meet Goliath, and he said, I can't even move. I can't fight that giant with all of this on me. You got to take it off. They said, dude, you're a little bitty fella. You can't take off this armor. You're going to have to wear it. But he took it off, and he walked out there, and what? And God had him. He had him in his hand. And we know the story of what happened. So Paul is saying, if you will dress accordingly, if you will place yourself put the body of armor on every day, keep it on. Keep it on. If you will do this, then you will be able to stand firm against the world that we live in today. The world that we live in today, folks, is as crazy as anything I've ever thought that I would ever read about, much less live in. It is a dark, dark place. And this is what Paul was talking about. He was talking about putting on the belt of truth. Today, how many times do you hear anybody speak the truth? The only time you hear the truth about anything is when we're reading out of this book. When we're speaking from this book, the Bible. And the devil, he fights these against us with these lies. He tells us all of this stuff that we're seeing today is okay. He tells us all the things that's going on in the world. It's okay, Mike. You just need to settle down because you're just old-timey, old-fashioned. You need to get with the world and just let this all kind of happen. It's okay. That's what we're seeing today, folks, in our churches and in the homes that we are raising our kids in. And so he wins on lies. the body armor of righteousness. He attacks us. He hits us right here with these arrows, right here in the heart. And when he attacks us and hits us in the heart, what happens? When our heart is changed from following Christ to doing the things that we know are right, then we have an emotional breakdown. We wonder about our self-worth. We wonder about the things that we are and what we could have been or should have been. We have all of these thoughts that come through our head. And the devil's winning because he's saying, if you'd only followed me, if you'd only followed me, you could have had all of this. But no, you wanted to do it your way. And so here you are, following Christ, and look at what you don't have. That's what he tells us, folks. That's exactly what he tells us. But that's what we got to stand against. You know, little short story. I don't know what year it was, 74, 5, 6. UPS driver got killed here. And they called me and said, come down, Mike. We can put you to work. I said, okay. I went down there. They told me, said, we'll put you to work this afternoon. You go home and you run to town, get you a new pair of boots, run to town, get you a haircut, shave, and get your best jeans on and come back and we'll try to find a shirt you can wear and we'll run you, we'll let you start tonight. And I was running freight, go run freight at night. I said, boys, I didn't come down here to join the army. And I said, I came down here for a job. I said, I think I'll go back and do the things that I want to do. And you see how my life changed that instant. It would have been entirely different had I stayed and done the things that they told me to do, get my hair cut, Chris, get my all these whiskers shaved off and act like somebody. But I didn't. I wouldn't. I didn't want to join the army. I just wanted a job. And so there I showed them, didn't I? That's exactly how we live, folks. That's exactly how we live. We let the devil tell us that if you'd have just done this, Mike, it would have been all different. It would have been all different, but I might not have been here now. You see, you have to be happy with where the Lord has placed you. You have to be happy. He protects us. He ensures that we'll have every need that we need. He tells us that he's not going to walk off and leave us. He loves us. And how much did he love us? He loves us enough that he sent his son to die for us. And then he tells us to put on the shoes, the peace that comes from the good news. Well, folks, I mean, when you don't have your shoes on, it's hard for me to function. I don't know about y'all. Some of you might can function good without your shoes. But it's hard to function. And so the devil, he stays, you know, when we're, if we're in peace with God and it's coming from the Bible and everything's good and we got on a good pair of shoes, everything's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, we're in line with the Lord. We're walking with him. And we got shoes on that will protect our feet. And we got shoes on that we can take those steps and make our life on and on and on for the Lord. But the devil, he'll tell you, you don't need them shoes on. You're okay. I don't know about y'all, but every now and then I get to thinking that at home. I'll run out the back door without any shoes on. It don't take me but just a minute to realize I can't do that no more. Those days are gone. You cannot make it. And that's just without your proper shoes, without the proper instruments that you're placing on your body and on yourself. You cannot make it. And the thing that you're needing most when you're putting your shoes on is that he will give us the motivation to continue because we can actually walk in the shoes that we have on. Nothing worse than to have on a pair of shoes that you can't walk in. You'll give it up. You'll quit. And so then we see that we have a shield of faith as well. A shield of faith. A shield of faith is all the devil's attacks. He comes at us. He comes at us hard, folks. And when we have this shield of faith that we can hold up to cause those arrows to ricochet off, because he is throwing arrows at us hard every day. He throws them at me hard every day. I hope he's not doing you the same way he does me. But folks, it comes to me hard. The devil is saying, choom, choom, choom. One of them's going to get you, Mike. One of them's going to hit you. And I want you to stop and think about this, folks, as we have this shield up in front of us and we're trying to deflect the arrows of the devil. You're trying to reflect everything that the devil is throwing at you. I want you to stop and think about this. If you're reflecting the arrows that are being thrown at you, it's all good. You're not getting hit. Yeah, it's another job with on its own of deflecting arrows in the name of Jesus. But you stop and think about one thing. If you stop right in your tracks and you turn around and run, he has not mentioned one thing about a shield on your back. When you turn around and run, folks, you're going to get hit with a bunch of arrows. Because real quick, because that's the devil telling you to run, 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 run. Do not continue to go forward. Do not continue to try to preach the word. Paul is in chains, folks. He's in chains and he is not asking in these prayers. He's not asking a single person to, please pray that I can get out of these chains. He's not saying that, is he? He's not. He's content with where he's at in life. He's content being able to write and to be able to send letters out and to be able to speak to whoever he can speak with. He's not asking for any kind of condition to change. He says, pray for me to have strength, folks. Pray for me to keep my shield up where these arrows cannot hit me. We half the time don't even think about picking a shield up because we got this. We'll make it just fine. And the helmet of salvation that he wants us to hold on our... It is... The helmet that he speaks about is salvation, and he desires that we wear it. It protects our mind. When I forget that helmet, you know, what gets it? It gets to be a habit. It's the same thing as me riding that motorcycle, folks. I live right on the Kentucky line. I can make an 8-mile block. I got a little block right there at my house. It's 8 miles. I'll jump on it without a helmet, run that 8 mile, come back home. Gets to be a habit, doesn't it? And then if I get anything, I see anything that looks out of the ordinary, I'm just, beep, I'm in Kentucky. I don't need no helmet. You see what I'm saying? Boy, I cleaned that up real quick, didn't I? But that's not the way we live our life with the Lord, folks. You got to put on your helmet. And I'm supposed to put it on because I'm living in Tennessee. It don't matter how close, but you see how close a line we walk with the darkness and the light? We make it work for us, don't we? We'll walk in darkness a little bit, and then we'll get over and get in the light. We make it work, folks. But this helmet of salvation, it protects our mind from doubting God's word. You ever doubt God's word sometime? Amen? We doubt it. We doubt that it's exactly as he's telling us that it is. If you hadn't, there's probably you're lying or there's something wrong with you. And the sword that he talks about, folks, right there is your sword. The Word of God. Right there is your sword. That's the sword that you need. It's the weapon of offense as you go out into the world. This is the sword that we have to have under our belt. At all times, we have to be ready to use this sword. Be able to argue this sword by using the sword. You know, I was thinking about Jesus. You stop and think about this, folks. So the devil's tempting Jesus. He says, hey, look here, let me show you what I got for you. You remember how all this goes down? He says, hey, let me show you here, dude. I got something for you a whole lot better than what the good Lord, the Father's offering you, and I'm going to show you. And what did Jesus fight him with? Scripture. The Word. Folks, that's the sword. There's no need in arguing with people every day about all kind of stuff. Just use the word. Use the word to the best of your ability and to what it means. And use this word to tell them and describe to them. And that's all you need. That's all you need. So we see that there is a whole body armor, folks, that we need to put on each and every day. And when we put this body armor on each and every day, then it gives us this shield of faith that's built around us. But it doesn't say one thing about your back. You always remember that. Because when you turn your back upon Christ, I guarantee you, you're going to be hit with an arrow. And it'll be a poison arrow. It'll be one that will cave your mind, and it will be one that will cause all things in your mind to go crazy. Folks, never give in. Never give in to the things you know that are wrong. You know things are wrong. You don't have to ask. You don't have to call me and say, Mike, is this wrong if I do that? No, you know that. You feel this still small voice speaking to you. You know your conscience is speaking to you. You know everything. And Paul is telling us right here in the Scripture as we close, he's wrote this letter not only to the church at Ephesus, but he's wrote it to the surrounding churches. I'm sure he wanted it to be a circular letter that made the rounds, you know, to all the churches. But you stop and you think about the series that we done a while back about the churches in Revelation. In the second chapter of Revelation, what's he talking to? The church of Ephesus. You remember this? And so what did he say to the church of Ephesus? He's talking to people in the church, folks. He's not talking to the city. He's talking to the church. This is Jesus himself. He says, in my right hand I have 7 stars, and I walk among the 7 lampstands. And he said, and if you don't repent and turn back to me, I'm going to remove one of your lampstands. Meaning you, the church of Ephesus. I'm going to remove one of these lampstands. And it's going to be you. Folks, stop and think about it. This is Jesus talking to the church that Paul's trying to talk to. Here, this is Jesus' writings through John. And Paul is trying to tell the people, you have to repent of your sin. You cannot go around making idols and gods of this gold and silver and all this sterling silver and all this stuff that you do and sell it to these people, making money on it, and expect God to be happy with it. It's not going to happen. And then Jesus is telling them in the book of Revelation that you have come to love the world and the things around it more than me. That's what he says. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. More than me and the people. You love all of that more than you do me and the people of the church. Your body. The church itself. So folks, we have to stop and we have to think, how in the world are we doing as a church? How are we doing? You know, Tammy shows and shares with me about once a week something on Facebook. Well, yesterday was my day, and she showed me and shared with me a little thing, and it said, y'all probably all saw it. I don't do Facebook, so I don't get to see that stuff. But it said, if it was up to you, how would your church be doing? If it depended entirely on you, how would your church be doing? Woo! If it's depending entirely on me, y'all's church wouldn't be doing too good. Because I let Brian take my slack. Or I let you take my slack. Or I let anybody take my slack. You see what I'm saying? If it's entirely on you, how would your church be doing? So you have to ask yourself some questions sometimes. But folks, the thing is, it is a wonderful time of the year. It's a time that we see as we went to the movie Sunday night and we saw in the beginning the lamb as it was going out. The lamb was going out into the world. The baby Jesus, the Lamb of God, is going out into the world. And we know that it goes out into the world to be slain. But it's slain for you and it's slain for me. As we come into the season of Christmas and we come into the time that we have to reflect upon this Lamb and to reflect upon ourselves and to reflect upon our church and to reflect upon the churches of this world. I hope today, folks, as we hear this final word of Paul, I hope as we hear him talking and speaking that we will do better in the days and months and weeks ahead to put our armor on properly before we ever think about leaving the house. And sometimes we need to just put it on if we're planning on hanging out around the house today, because it's our loved ones that we hurt the most of the time in the things that we do and the things that we say. So folks, no matter whether you're planning a lazy day, cold winter day, or whether you're going out to the city, put your armor of God on each and every morning. Do the best you can to be more like Christ tomorrow than you were today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.